Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it! It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Double, double, toil and trouble. The Fed burns money, house prices bubble. Beware, my friends, for the trend is not your friend. The fourth turning is here. QE4 is coming, and the Fed chairman speaks in wicked tongues, Stacy.
That thunder you might hear in the background is not actually added in post-production. That is live thunder, which is dramatizing what you have said in the opening there, Max, because the trends are turning decidedly thunderous. Yellen sees rates rising gradually, but avoids precise timing. So Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen said the U.S. economy was making progress, but was silent on the timing of another interest rate increase, an omission viewed as a signal that the June move was off the table. So interest rates are going to stay low because apparently the trend for employment is down, down, down.
What a hellacious pantomime, this Fed, you know, messaging. You remember the comic strip Peanuts? You had Charlie Brown and Lucy, and yes. She would hold the football for him. And he would come running down to kick the football, and at the last second, she pulls the football away. Charlie Brown ends up flat on his back. And he does it time and time and time again. And this is the same scenario, the same script over and over again. The Fed says we're going to raise rates because they think, oh, the economy is accelerating. Meanwhile, the economy is absolutely falling apart. And there's no chance that they're ever going to raise rates because they can never escape this Ponzi scheme. But yet they need to pretend as if they're raising rates to make look like they're doing an actual job other than just keeping this casino gulag afloat at the request of the casino masters there on Wall Street. So no, the rates are not going to, we've been down this path at least 20 times. You and I have covered this fake Fed rate hike hoax.
And of course, every single time Charlie Brown or Lucy, I guess, pulls away the football, you know, the markets rally again. So the markets did rally on this news that the news is so bad that the Fed's going to continue to give all the free money. And the news that is bad, the trend that is bad, is the unemployment rate. So it emerged that only 38,000 jobs were added in May, and they also revised down April and March numbers. So for the ordinary person, it is a lot of double toil and trouble.
Well, I'll give you an insight into the thinking. You know, there's this idea now that, well, stocks are near all-time highs, and if you don't own any, you're a loser, and you needed to participate into these stocks. Nobody ever mentions the fact that for the top 1%, top 0.1%, you can buy stocks with 0% borrowed money and then hedge your position, so you never really have any genuine risk. But the other thing to keep in mind is that the stocks are like Warren Buffett is an example of somebody who has never split his stock. So the price per one share of stock is over $200,000. So that's the entry into this lifestyle. You can't just buy a share of Berkshire Hathaway, his stock, with it, unless you've got at least $250,000. Okay. So is that really an open gate to the masses to come in and enjoy the spoils of the American dream?
Probably not, as they show something like over 50% of Americans don't even have $500 in an emergency. So, of course, these are trends that we're looking at here, and the trends look pretty bad. And there's no other more important to speak to about these trends than trends forecaster himself, Gerald Celente of TrendsResearch.com. Gerald Celente, first of all, what do you think of this, the trend in terms of Janet Yellen? What is she responding to? What is she seeing? Why is she not going to be raising rates?
Well, Max really summed it up perfectly. It's a game that they keep playing over and over again. Not only did Yellen blab, you heard Bullard BS as well, another Fed member, one after another. They're all coming out playing this game about, we're going to raise rates, but we're not going to raise them yet, but maybe we will, and who knows when. And it's just one big Ponzi scheme, as Max pointed out. Let's put this into perspective. In 10 years, they raised interest rates a grand total of, what, 25 basis points? And you had negative interest rates around the world, tens of trillions of dollars worth of negative interest rates in bond yields. I mean, nobody's ever heard this in the history of the world, part one or part two. It's one big scam, as Max said, so that the The big guys could play the game, borrow money for nothing, and the facts are there for anybody that wants to look at them. But in 2015, you saw merger and acquisition activity at an all-time high. Well, they're borrowing the money for nothing, buying out other companies. And what is it, about $60, $70 billion a month in the states of stock buybacks? They're borrowing the money for nothing, and they're juicing up their equities. And you're looking at what? A P.E. ratio is what, 24 times earnings? When you're looking at what? How many quarters of negative corporate gains? The losses, I should say, in the S&P. Was it 3 or 4 quarters now? So how could this be? It's a Ponzi scheme.
So, Gerald, this is happening against a background quite similar to what we saw in 2007, 2008, and that is an election season. We have, however, an even more bizarre situation on our hands right now in America. Very tense situation. We see violence at rallies. We see this most remarkable political season. How much does all of this tension and violence happening at these political rallies, how much does it have to do with this crisis that we see in an economy that seems beyond the control of any of these attempted puppet masters at the Fed or the Treasury?
Well, the support obviously from Trump is a rebellion in large part to the two-party system. I really don't think, however, that what's going on the political scene is directly affecting the markets at this time, but it is affecting the nation. And as you pointed out, you know, never in my lifetime, or I don't remember even reading about it in modern history, did you see violence between two political groups at these rallies. This is unprecedented in America. And with the violence being a major part of the American culture, as you know, we have a president that brags that, quote, he's good at killing people with drone strikes, ongoing wars, and mass murder around the globe. Violence has become a part of the culture. So rather than the media denouncing this violence and calling for peace, what they're doing is, being that they're pieces of crap, the prostitutes, they're pumping it up. It brings in ratings, and it also makes the presidential reality show, for what it is, a freak show for the masses. So rather than them coming down and saying, both parties saying, this has to stop, this should not be tolerated, instead they're promoting the violence.
Well, Gerald, the violence in national elections in America, it's certainly there, both on the national and regional, local level. The violence in New York politics, going back to Tammany Hall and in this type of era. And also, don't forget that in America had a civil war, you know, very violent confrontation over the elections of Abraham Lincoln. And, you know, this is a violent country with a violent past. And it's certainly going through a violent era. I'd say it's a return to the normal time is a violent time. We were coming out of a peaceful time in American politics and resuming the longer trend, the trend of violence. That's what the American history is all about.
Like 1968.
68 is a very violent period.
You know, 68, again, that wasn't between the two parties, though. You know, that was the Chicago demonstration. But Max is right. You know, this goes back to what it used to be, you know, 100 years ago and before. But again, in modern times, we've never seen this kind of thing.
But we also have the trend of the markets are way at all-time highs, way above where they were at 2007, way more leverage than they were at 2007, way more fraud than there was in 2007. And then we also have an election where there isn't going to be an incumbent that wins. They're not even competing. So we have similar to 2008 when the markets crashed. We saw Lehman Brothers collapse. We saw chaos in the markets. We saw TARP push through Congress, the lame duck Congress. We saw all that stuff happening. And one of the things that emerged during that crash was that post the crash, we learned that, in fact, there was threats of martial law. Now, is this a possible situation or scenario in your forecast for what happens in November?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a militarized state already. And they'll use any excuse they can to quell the people from rising up against the institutions that are ruining it. And again, you know, you never know. There's always the wild cards. That's why nobody can predict the future. You could you know, you could see the trends developing, but they're wild cards. And one of them may be, for example, a terrorist strike, false flag or real. And when I say false flag, that doesn't mean I'm a conspiracy theory. I mean, remember the Maine? How about the Gulf of Tonkin incident that never happened? And, you know, I'll tell you what, Stacey and Max, we got to get rid of that Saddam Hussein. I tell you, he has weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. So when I say false flag or real, they'll do anything they can to maintain power and to repress the people that are rising up against it. And the elections may prove to be one of those points of conflict that makes that martial law happen.
It's Double Down with Max and Stacey.
Oh, yeah, it's a new show on Sputnik Radio.
Well, let's take a look at this matchup between potentially Hillary and Trump. So Hillary is somebody who comes out of an era of American politics that I would put under the label of dirty tricks. You know, you're thinking about going back to Nixon, and everyone says they don't rely on violence so much as the dirty trick, the secret bugging, the re-gerrymandering of voting districts, and smearing the opposition in the press. And then Trump is bringing back violence. You know, he's bringing back the violent element in these politics. So you've got the old violence meets the old dirty tricks. So that's the election matchup, violence versus dirty tricks. Who wins in that matchup, Gerald Celente?
Well, our campaign slogan for 2016 is Trump or Clinton, Hitler or Hitlery. So as we look at it now, we're called, by the way, this has never been done either in my lifetime. And just to give you a little background, I began my career running political campaigns in Westchester County, the richest county, you know, in the states at the time. And I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate, and designed and instructed American politics and campaign technology, taught at St. John's University. And it goes on. So I know the game. And I've never seen this game played like this, that they've already announced Hillary Clinton. Quote, Clinton captures enough delegates to win nomination. That's the headline of the paper of record, the New York Times, or I refer to it as the toilet paper of record, because all they are is a shill for the establishment. And when you see who owns the media, what six companies control 90% of it, thanks to Bill Clinton deregulating the Federal Communications Act in 1996, you can see that the mainstream media, the corporate media, is pumping Clinton. And this is a day before the major primaries in California, New Jersey, and other states.
Yes, that was the most remarkable thing I've ever seen in a U.S. election, which is that the Associated Press, Washington Post, New York Times, they all declared that Hillary Clinton won the nomination before the voters could vote in California, basically meaning that their vote didn't matter. But regarding, you know, in the last few minutes we have here, what about the economic issue going forward? What about, a lot of voters are very angry. They've all lost their jobs. We've seen a trend in America, which is a remarkable trend, is that white Americans are dying. Their mortality rate has increased for the first time in U.S. history. This only ever happens in times of war. It happened at the collapse of the Soviet Union in Russia. What is going on there? And will either of these candidates put an end to that horrible trend?
Well, I don't know if they'll put an end to it, but that's why the very reasons that you mentioned, the economy, that's why we're forecasting that at this point, Trump is going to be Clinton. He's going around the nation posing, you know, the trade agreements. And of course, the Clintons are tied into NAFTA and Wall Street. So go back to 1992, the Clinton campaign slogan in the campaign headquarters was, quote, it's the economy, stupid. And it's the economy once again. 9 out of 10 people are concerned about the economy. It's the major issue in the polls. And both, by the way, Clinton and Trump have enormous negative ratings. And on honesty, both rate a negative 64%. So it's going to be a Trump, we believe, because of the economy. And you look at Clinton's campaign, nothing about the economy. It's so that's why it's more about attacks on Trump, foreign policy, et cetera. Oh, by the way, I'm a woman. And because I'm a woman, we should vote for women. So Trump has already played the gender card against her. And that's all she has to play. So it's going to be the economy, stupid.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Keiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, Gerald Celente of TrendsResearch.com. Until next week, bye, y'all.